Wisdom is enshrined in an understanding heart. Wisdom is not found among fools. Now see, that's why God told you, if you want wisdom, you don't go look at a fool. Because how much wisdom does a fool have? None. It ain't there. Because who gives us wisdom? God. That's absolutely right. God will not give wisdom to a person that will not yield himself to him. When you yield yourself to God, he will give you wisdom beyond your wildest dreams. But it says wisdom is enshrined in an understanding heart. When your heart understands God and you love him and worship him, then he will pour, especially when you ask. Because James chapter 1 says, if any man lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives liberally to all without finding fault. But when you ask, you must ask in faith, nothing wavering. Now, who can ask in faith? Only a Christian. You can't ask in faith not knowing God. You cannot ask in faith. So, faith is the Word of God. So, without the Word of God, you have no faith. Now, it says, wisdom is not found among fools. So, you wonder why so many people out there are making so many wrong decisions and doing things so crazy. Well, there's your answer right there. Godliness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. Godliness. Can you imagine what kind of a place this would be if everybody here was God-fearing, that really loved Jesus, went to church every Sunday somewhere? Can you imagine what kind of a country we would have? God says to those that serve me and love me, I will even make your enemies be at peace with you. Of course, the enemies are Satan and his host of demons. So they won't even bother us because they have no legal claim to us. Those are our enemies, Satan and the host of demons. So God says, if you obey me, I, God, will make your enemy, which is Satan and his host of demons, be at peace with you. And that's where I love to live. I love for that, for my enemies to be at peace with me. Godliness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. Wow, if we could only be that. A king rejoices in servants who know what they are doing. A king rejoices in servants who know what they are doing. He is angry with those who cause trouble. Now, as an engineer all those years, did I love it when I had a team of men that knew what they were doing? Oh, my goodness, it made life so wonderful. You know what, I could just call a man in. And, of course, I think about the VPs I work for and some of the things they said about me over the years. And when we're in big meetings, corporate, and somebody would say something. In fact, one of the things that so made me feel so good one year, there was two VPs that neither one of them walked with God. They were both pretty coarse guys. And you know how men that are in power, these guys were regional. Well, one of them was an executive VP from Washington, and he had been a regional VP, and the other one was still a regional VP. And they were talking at a party we had one night, a corporate party, and they were all together and talking and laughing and everything. And the big boy from Washington got to kidding one of the executive regional VPs, and he told him how, you don't ever do nothing right. You know how these guys kid each other, you know. And all of a sudden, the one says, I do something right once in a while. He said, I hired Thurman. And the VP looked over at him and said, okay, you did that right. I'll have to agree with you. That's the only thing you ever done right. I thought, well, these guys, isn't it amazing what God can do for you in the midst even of a crazy thing like that? You know, that made those two guys agree, because I had worked my heart out for those people, but I had did it really for Jesus. And they knew that I knew what I was doing, and they loved to have me doing things for them. Whenever they needed a project, they just called me and said, go do it. And they knew it was going to happen. And just like God says here, a king rejoices in servants who know what they are doing. Do I love it? That's just like, if I have something wrong with one of the computers back there or one of the printers or whatever, I say, Dave! And he fixes it. I don't even ever have to get involved. He fixes it. He knows what he's doing. So, you know what I mean. You love to have people around you that know what they're doing, that you can depend on. He is angry with those who cause trouble. Now, can you get angry with people that work with you that don't know what they're doing? Especially after they mess up three or four times in a row? Yes, you can, unfortunately. Well, that's chapter 14 of Proverbs. I think we're going to quit there tonight. It's only 15 minutes till 9, but I think we're going to quit. And we'll start with chapter 15 next week. I might, before we quit, does anybody have a question about anything? Any questions? Or are we happy? Or what? Yes, Karen?
After he had the stroke and he had 10 days before he died.
Do what?
The guy that had the stroke that was in hospital. Mm-hmm. He could have repented right during that 10 days.
Well, I guess he could have, but obviously he didn't.
But do you think that's probably why he had the 10 days? Because he could have taken just like that.
That could have been. That could have been why God gave him 10 days. And obviously he didn't repent. Because that... Dave, you know where that's at? You know Samuel? Can you look that up, do a search on that? And Samuel, about God killed that man after, I forget, Joseph knew his name there, when he had the stroke. I know it's the word stroke is used in the NLT. It's a different word in the King James. I read it in both of them. But if you can find that, do a search on that. And if we can find that, I'd like to see that. And I think it was in 2 Samuel. I'm not sure. It could have been in 1 Samuel. It's in which one? 25:37. 1 Samuel 25:37. We got a walking Bible right back there. Okay, 1 Samuel 25:37. Joseph said, "Huh?" Yeah. Now that's in the King James. Yeah. Yeah, his heart came as a stone. Said in verse, but it came to pass in the morning when the wine was gone out of Nabal. And his wife told him these things, that his heart died within him, and he became as a stone. Now, the NLT said he had a stroke. And then the next verse, what does it say, Dave, 38? And it came to pass about 10 days later that the Lord smote Nabal that he died. Who smote him? The Lord did. The Lord, that's absolutely right. So who is it that can make us live or die?
The Lord.
Who's in control?
The Lord.
Hey, don't ever forget that. That's why the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. When we know Daddy carries the switch, but we also know he carries that love too. Just like a mother, when your children always obey you, man, you don't ever think about the switch, do you, Karen? You just want to give them everything you got as a mother. But when they're regular little devils every day and don't do nothing Mama asks them, you want to turn them over to Daddy Saturday night when he comes home, right? Yeah. And that's exactly what God does to us.
I heard the same thing even from my own daughter, that a loving God doesn't care, doesn't, you know. I don't know if it's this generation or apparently it's every generation. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, how can you get to know what God will and won't do? Well, but how do you learn about God? Oh, yeah, it's in the book. You read that book, and you read it at face value.
She was taught, right, and she has read the Bible, but since she started, once she got into school and got around other kids going to other churches, where she gets so much of this love message, mm-hmm. that it's like there's something hypnotic about it, where you mm-hmm. start thinking that God is just all loving, but somehow you forget about the sin part.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But God is love. Yeah.
Something God. That takes over or something.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. God is love, but He's also a God that disciplines us. I mean, it's all over the book. You can't read the book and not see that. It's everywhere. And it really is everywhere. In fact, this guy, because that we just read about there, because he was such a little mean critter, he had a stroke. Who do you think afflicted him with that stroke? God, because 10 days later it says the Lord took him out. The Lord killed him because he was disobedient. And then the beautiful wife he had, he give her. And everything this guy had all became David's. And because David was an obedient son. he always obeyed the Lord, you know. But did David have trials and tribulations even though he obeyed the Lord? Oh, yeah, there was always somebody after him to kill him. So he fought these battles too, you know. So just like we have to fight them. It really is. But I thought how awesome that is that after this says this, he had a stroke, just like, oh, this is the NLT. The next morning when he was sober, she told him what had happened, and as a result, he had a stroke, and he lay on his bed paralyzed. About 10 days later, the Lord struck him, and he died. In other words, the Lord let him lay there in pain, didn't he? And then where do you think he probably got to go, Lance? I think he probably did. But just like Karen said, maybe he was giving him those 10 days to see if he would repent. He struck him. He does that, doesn't he? God strikes us with sickness and disease, just like the Word says in Job 33. We talked about Sunday. He strikes us with sickness, and then he gives us time to repent. And if we don't repent, yeah. Oh, and if we don't repent, ooh, we're gone. Oh, yes, ma'am.
I know one time when I was real sick and got down to 90 pounds and I was so allergic to everything that even clothes I couldn't have. I had the multiple chemical sensitivity on that. You get to where you have no distractions during that time. It's just, you can't think about anything else. So you can hear him better. So him being paralyzed in the bed, it was like you said earlier, how many times do you think God spoke to him and said, repent.
And you're not hearing. I mean, a lot of people hear that. You know, I mean, the thought, somebody may come in and say, you know, have you ever thought about repenting for your sins? Nah, you know, that doesn't have nothing to do with it. You know, I mean, I've heard people say that. You know, I've even went in and told them, you know, you need to repent of your sins and come to Jesus. In fact, I was talking to a young man down to where I bought these heating and air conditioning units for this building the other day. And I said, son, you know Jesus? Yeah, I know him. I said, where do you go to church? He said, I don't go. I said, you don't know him. He said, yeah, I do. I said, no, you know about him. I said, you're not a Christian. I said, if you were to die today, you know where you go? He said, well, it don't make no difference. Where I'm going to go is where I'm going to go. I said, no, son, there's only two places to go, heaven or hell. And you don't want to go to hell. Oh, he said, well, if that's where I go, that's where I go. I thought, this kid don't know nothing.
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with a teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website, or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.